Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I want to talk to you about the salvation of Noah. And let us begin by talking about something that may seem at first to have no connection whatsoever to our theme. The processes used in the printing industry have changed quite dramatically over the past few years. Even though it's not used now, there was, in previous years, a molding process, a molding of metallic type that was inked and placed against the paper on the printing presses. That metallic type was a certain letter that, when pressed on the paper, would produce its image. The image was called the imprint, or the antitype, which means that which answers to the form of the type. Now, printing now involves other processes that have proven to be more efficient and expedient and rapid. Seldom today does one find in the average print shop a letter press in that use at all, but presses that use offsetting and other means of production. But our study is not about printing. We simply cite this to illustrate the distinction between type and the antitype, which answers to the type. That which was the original form, and that which answers to the type. Now, there are types and antitypes in the Bible. The dictionary defines an antitype as a person, or a thing, or an idea that is represented by an earlier type or symbol, such as a New Testament event or person prefigured in the Old Testament. Our study concerns one of the types in the Old Testament, and its New Testament antitype. We studied the salvation of Noah. Not only shall we be impressed with the inseparable tie between the Old and New Testaments, but we shall also see illustrated for us our own salvation. Our text is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now this term, the like figure, it simply means an antitype. The salvation of Noah is a type of our salvation. In some sense, we are to regard baptism as saving us. Now, we do not understand that the power of salvation is the physical element of water. Nor do we understand that we are saved by works of our own merit when we are baptized. God alone has the power to save, and we are saved by the blood of Christ. The water into which we are commanded to be baptized has no magical ability to wash away our sins. It is not some kind of holy water that has special powers any more than the waters of Jordan into which Naaman was commanded to dip seven times in order to be healed of leprosy. 2 Kings chapter 5. We understand baptism is the means used by God as a condition and an act of obedience that one must obey in order to be saved. It is most significant that where and whenever baptism and salvation are mentioned in the same text, both together, baptism always comes before the blessing. The Bible does not teach that one is saved by baptism alone. The reason we even mention this is because some contend that salvation is by faith alone, because in some passages only faith is mentioned when discussing salvation. Well, only baptism is mentioned in the discussion of salvation in our text. It would follow that if the inclusion of faith and the omission of baptism in one passage teach salvation by faith alone, then this passage would teach salvation by baptism alone without faith. But, of course, in neither case is that true. Neither is there any mention of the blood of Christ, or repentance, or any other condition of salvation. The truth is, friend, that we must include all that God has said on the subject in order to learn what is included. It is not necessary to mention every point in every verse whenever salvation is discussed. That would not be any more reasonable than presenting the entire multiplication table every time you multiplied. Was Zoar saved by water? Well, the answer is yes, because the text so affirms. Noah was saved by water. He was saved with water, without faith? Well, the answer to that is certainly no. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Never does the Bible teach that we're saved by faith alone, or repentance alone, or baptism alone, or any other such thing alone. When was Noah saved? The record of Noah preparing the ark is found in Genesis chapter 6, and we call our attention to that particular passage, beginning with verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of everything of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, and shall keep them alive. And thou take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Now notice, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now the passage read records how God made a revelation to Noah of the coming destruction of the wicked world, and Noah believed what God told him. Friend, was Noah saved the moment he heard God's word? Why, no. God told him what to do. God told him how to do it. He gave him instructions concerning the ark and how to build it, from what material to build it, the window, the door, the dimensions, the number of stories, pitching it with pitch, and all the rest. He even instructed him about the animals to be taken into the ark. The record then records, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Did his doing what God said earn salvation for him? Why, no. Did he merit his salvation because he did these things? Again, the answer is no. Was it necessary for him to do what God instructed? Why, certainly the answer is yes. Without obedience, he would not have been spared. He heard, believed what God said, and obeyed, and he was saved. We would not be reading about him if he had simply heard and believed what God said but never obeyed. He would have failed to take advantage of the graciousness of the salvation that God offered unto him. And let it be stressed also that Noah was not saved the moment he believed the truth of God. Some contend that we're saved the moment we believe. Noah wasn't, and neither are we. Noah was saved in the ark by water. The water lifted the ark above the destruction of the flood to the saving of Noah and his family, Genesis 7 and verse 17. Peter says that baptism is the antitype of Noah's salvation in the ark by water. In like figure, we are saved. And from what are we saved? Well, we're not saved from persecution, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. We're not saved from disease and physical distress and death. We're not saved from the pain and sorrow that often accompanies man in this life. And the earlier Christians endured all such things, nor are we saved at the point of baptism into the final and eternal heaven. Peter said, baptism doth now also save us. Friend, the salvation at baptism is a present salvation, not one future in heaven. There is a salvation presently enjoyed. Eternal salvation is dependent upon one's faithfulness, Revelation 2:10. Peter refers to the same salvation as that which he preached on Pentecost, Acts 2:38, the salvation, the forgiveness of sins. This is the same salvation Jesus mentioned in Mark 16:16, when he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He said it would begin at Jerusalem with the remission of sins, Luke 24. He refers to salvation from old sins, past sins, from which the Christian has been purged, 2 Peter 1:9. Sins that are past, Romans 3:25. And the Romans passage would also include sins that were committed by those who lived faithfully under the old and former dispensation under the Mosaic law. Peter inserts as an explanation that baptism is not the putting away the filth of the flesh. It's not simply like taking a bath to remove dirt from the body. And why would he even mention such a thing? The only reason he would have to mention this is because of the possibility that some would confuse the immersing in water, and baptism is immersion, with simply bathing. If baptism was just dropping a few drops of water on the head, it would never have been necessary for Peter to make the distinction between baptism and bathing. Peter's comment is an allusion to the act of baptism, which is immersion, a burial in water. Peter further explains that baptism is an honest, sincere response of the heart to the call of God. God's call comes through the preaching of the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And as would be anticipated, when God calls, he expects an answer. Baptism is man's answer of obedience to the call of the Lord. It's man's appeal unto God for his salvation. He does this with an honest and good conscience, a conscience properly taught and with proper and informed motives. The conscience has been subjected to teaching that has produced faith, a faith that demands the action of obedience, a faith that is perfected and made whole and complete by obedience. Now, Peter either told a lie or he told the truth when he says baptism saves. Friend, baptism either saves or it does not. The inspired Apostle Peter said baptism saves. We suggest that people pay attention to what Peter said and what he said about baptism rather than what men said it does not do. Baptism either saves or Peter was wrong. It saves us by the remission of sins. Peter does not call baptism a symbol of our salvation or a sign that we're already saved prior to being baptized. Baptism is a symbol, all right, but of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Romans 6:3-4. It is a symbol of that truth that saves. By being baptized, we come in contact with the saving blood of Christ, which was shed in his death, Romans 6:3-4. We are baptized into his death. The salvation of Noah was a temporal salvation that serves as a type of our spiritual salvation from sin. Noah, upon hearing God's word, he believed it, and he acted in obedience to what God commanded. God, by means of water, saved Noah and his household. And today, people hear the gospel, dare to believe it, and when they obey the commands of it, repenting of their sins and confessing their faith in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins by the authority of Christ, their sins are forgiven. God, by means of water, saves the obedient. Again, we emphasize, because some have falsely accused us of teaching what we've never taught, the water itself and of itself and by itself does not save. God saves by the blood of Christ. We're saved by grace and mercy and love. But when does God save? Friend, it is when people have heard, believed, and obeyed the gospel commands, including baptism. I once read an article in a paper that's called The Baptist and Reflector, in which the writer was commenting on Galatians 3:27 that reads, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." He commented that this tells us one way to enter into Christ. Well, I wrote him twice, and his editor once, and simply asked, where do we read any other way of entering into Christ? I never heard a word in spite of repeated attempts to extract a response. And if any hearer of these words knows of such a passage, I would appreciate you sending it to me. I know why we never heard from them. There is no other step that takes one from out of Christ into Christ. Romans 6, 3 and 4 and Galatians 3 and verse 27, the only two passages that tell us how one gets into Christ, the final step of getting into Christ, both teach the same act of obedience. It would seem that honest and sincere people who claim to love the law of the Lord would struggle to obey as much as they struggle to uphold their denominational dogmas and try to simply get around what the Lord has commanded. Would it not be more simple to just obey? Would it not be better to be blessed? The account of Noah's salvation was given not just to relate the preservation of the human race at the time of God's destruction of man's wickedness. It was not written simply to talk about Noah. It is an illustration, a symbol, a type of the means God uses to save man, even us, from a far worse destruction, the condemnation of the soul. The record is God's forthright instruction of those who are yet living under the authority of Jesus Christ. Let us understand that as Noah heard, as he believed, as he obeyed, even so must we. And the question before you is, have you obeyed the Lord in baptism for the remission of sins? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.